Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a great show planned today, and really, the entire theme of today's show is going to be training, strength, and conditioning. We start out during the first hour with Coach Rob Regish for our regularly scheduled episode where he is the co-host, and I am the host, but the truth is he's really the host, of the Blueprint Power Hour where he answers listener questions. Then we're going to be joined by Dr. Christian Roberts to talk about weight and strength capacity as a marker of cardiometabolic risk factors. And what we're talking about here in plain English terms is when mildly obese people are strong, does it protect them against heart disease? It's a really important discussion. And that's later in the show. Just got to give a shout out to our title sponsor, All American EFX Sports. You can go to SuperhumanRadio.com and learn more about them. Rob Regish, how the hell are you?
I wish that was better, brother. I hurt my knee wrestling recently, but it wasn't with my usual sparring
Jennifer
partner,
Skulnick?
Jennifer.
No?
Yeah, you know, now she and I practice a lot, but no matter who winds up on top, so to speak, it feels like I always win, you know?
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
So one day I asked around the gym, and had the good fortune of meeting a Mr. Ed Gazarek, who was teaching me to wrestle. Picture someone who's a good 25 pounds heavier than me, all muscle and knows how to twist people into pretzels. I can't say it enough, brother. Thanks for taking the time, Ed. Really appreciate it. What happened was my right knee came down hard on the floor versus the mat. You know, we were wrestling around just on the edge. Yeah, so I got a severe contusion of my knee ligaments. It caused it to blow up, caused my right knee to blow up around 2 inches more so than the left, and it's painful as hell right now. So I went to get it looked at. They gave me an immobilization brace.
Yeah, right.
And I humored him by putting it on, but I made it known, you know. This wasn't going to stand in my way of Olympic figure skating gold.
Tanya Harding and why me?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The doc completely agreed, so I'll talk about that later in the show. But, yeah, it's just one more thing, but it's nothing that's going to stop me.
Always something, right? It's always something.
Always.
Any specials going on right now at CoachRobRegish.com that we need to mention before we start the show?
No plugs per se. However, if you do visit CoachRobRegish.com, you will see an entirely new experience. We redid the entire website, and for what it's worth, you're going to see a lot more activity on there with blogs and some live podcasts of my own.
Cool. First question comes from Javik Paternski. I hope I did that right. What's your opinion of pro-hormone use plus bodyweight training? I'm thinking the two would be an explosive combination because you're always talking about body weight stuff being level 7 movements, stimulate a lot of growth, etc. The choice of pro hormones should be obvious. The muscles get bigger faster. I'm 32, by the way, and not a kid looking for quick gains. I just need to pack on about 15 pounds or so. Coming from distance running background, the body weight stuff seems like pretty low risk entry point into strength training.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, your thinking would be wrong, Javik, dead wrong for a couple of reasons. Now, for reference sake, when I'm referring to a level 7 movement, it means exercises where the body and weight move through space simultaneously. So in traditional weight training, it's why squats always beat leg presses. And in body weight training, it's built into virtually every move that you perform, right? Push-ups, pull-ups, squats, handstand push-ups, etc.
Right.
So yeah, body weight training is a great way to stimulate muscle growth. Where your argument falls apart is with prohormone use. Normally, when a person goes on a prohormone, right, they start to gain weight and get stronger because they're lifting heavier weights, eating more, etc. When a person practicing the art of body weight training gains weight, it makes the exercise that much harder, mm-hmm. and in some cases, a lot harder. Now, some may argue that the weight gain is all in the muscles, or should be. Maybe, but it's still weight that your body has to lift, and those body weight moves keep you honest, meaning your leverage points change dramatically when you're gaining weight. And picture this, a 5-pound gain is a big deal, a real big deal if you're gunning for something like one-arm chins. So I recently went through this with something as simple as salt. Right? Now, I never salt my food, but I decided to see the difference it'd make if I did so for, let's call it 5 days. I might be hypersensitive to it because I put on quite a bit of weight during that time, a lot more than what creatine gives me. Every one of my body weight lifts suffered, except for squats, and even those were a struggle. So here's the bottom line. No prohormones, no weight gainers. I would even stay away from creatine. Let the muscle come naturally and see if at least 10 of those pounds manifest quickly. I'm betting that being new to this, they will, and your muscle growth will take off.
One question. What about a prohormone or even an androgen that has a high androgenicity that imparts greater strength? Wouldn't that overcome the weight gain from the body weight increase?
Like a DHT derived?
Yeah, you know. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Trenbolone. If you may put on some weight, some water weight from it, but the strength gains far exceed anything the water weight is going to do.
Yeah, I see where you're going, but I'd still leave that on the table, yeah. At least until such time as, you know, you get more
advanced. Because the truth is if he eats right and he does what he's supposed to do, he's going to put on 10 to 15 pounds without using anything.
Exactly.
The next question comes from Panos Antonakos. He says, you've talked about the squat and milk program before working wonders. I'm seeing different spins on it now online. Anything I should be aware of versus the original program?
Yeah, you know, for reference sake, 20-rep breathing squats were immediately followed by light dumbbell pullovers and a handful of big basic exercises for one or two really hard work sets. Now, it doesn't sound like much until you try it, as the 20-rep squats in and of themselves can become a religious experience.
Does anybody remember Arnold Schwarzenegger in Pumping Iron when he was training 20-rep squats with Ed Corning?
Yes.
They had just finished a set of 20-rep squats, and Arnold was coaxing Corny through his last reps. And upon racking, they only had 225 on that bar, as I recall, right?
Yeah, it wasn't a lot of weight.
And Corny collapses to the ground, gasping for air. He couldn't get up, and that was after a single set of 20-rep squats. I don't remember if it was 315 or 225. Maybe it was 315 to give them the credit they deserve. But nonetheless, when you put the right weight on the bar and you do 20-rep squats, your body will pay for it very quickly.
Yeah. So, you know, you bring up a great point. Let's be clear on something. If you have any inclination whatsoever to do another set of 20-rep squats, you did something very wrong.
Yeah.
But let's assume you get the original squats and milk course, which was written by J.C. Heise and later popularized by Randall J. Strawson in his book Super Squats. There's one other nuance that people should be aware of, and it's this. The milk today isn't the same. in the 19, and I've heard you do whole shows on this, in the 1930s when Heise wrote the original course, it was still legal to sell fresh food, meaning you could still buy raw, unpasteurized milk. Now, it's true you can still do so today in this country, but you'll have to really search hard for it. The internet helps, but unless you live in a farming community, there aren't a lot of convenient places to find it. Now, bear in mind, Heise, Strawson, and others recommended drinking no less than a gallon a day. The problem is, in addition to homogenization, pasteurization destroys enzymes. It reduces vitamin content up to 80%. It denatures the milk protein, and it annihilates a lot of the beneficial bacteria. The mineral content takes it on the chin. Whatever minerals are left, they're a lot less bioavailable. Worst of all, the plastic jugs that milk is sold in today leach formaldehyde or embalming fluid, okay, into your milk. Now, you will find undertakers who will tell you about someone in their 20s and 30s who dies versus an old-timer. They'll tell you that the kids only need half as much embalming fluid versus the older folks. The difference being the old-timers didn't start drinking milk with formaldehyde in it until their lives were half over. So here's the bottom line. Get Randall J. Strawson's Super Squats. You can get it on Amazon for like 10, 12 bucks. And run it with raw, unpasteurized milk. I have customers in Ireland, for example, who'll never be able to do this, as apparently raw and unpasteurized milk has been banned there. You can't get it. I'm not sure about Greece, which is where Panos is, but hopefully you're still able to do it.
You know what I find really funny, too? Kerry Gold butter is from grass-fed, grass-pastured cows. Ireland is known for their pastures, and the cows thrive there. I'm surprised that they've done away with the unpasteurized milk there. It's really sad.
Yeah, and he looked, and I feel bad for him. So if you've still got the opportunity to do it and you're listening, do it.
Let's go ahead and hit this one fast. Chris Jarvis says, I'm not sure what I'm doing wrong, but multiple set training programs just don't work for me. I've tried 5 sets of 5, 3 sets of 3, even 10 sets of 10. Nothing works. I get no strength increases, muscle size, zilch. I've read about the high intensity 1 set to failure method. Is that worth trying? I'd say, why not?
You know, everything is worth trying once, because as the old saying goes in this business, everything works, but everything stops working eventually. In your case, though, it sounds like a large number of multiple sets and loads has been tried to no avail. So let's talk about where HIIT might fit in, and then I'll give you another system that's seldom used today, but has a very high success rate. Typically, trainees that do well with 1 set to failure type training, they're already overtrained, meaning their body is begging for a reduction in volume and frequency, and HIIT gives them that. So if I were you, I'd take a week off, and after finishing up 10 sets of 10 or whatever, you know, initiate HIIT. You'll likely do quite well with it. Where things can go awry is that HIIT is tremendously draining on the adrenals and other parts of the body due to the emphasis on intensity. Now, after warm-ups, you've got just one shot at topping yourself during that one set. It is not easy to do. So here's the alternative. Less well-known but very effective is the double progression method, which was originally popularized in this country by Bob Peoples. He wrote a book called Developing Physical Strength. And in that system, you take a given weight, let's say 100 pounds, and you lift it 5 times. You continue working with that same weight until such time as you can get 10 reps. And then you up the weight and start over at 5 reps again. Unlike HIIT, there is no constant upping of the weight, draining to failure, right? Psychological burnout, nor drain on your adrenals. There is brilliance in its simplicity, but it gets lost in gyms today due to what I call the NO2 factor. So give that a shot, Chris. I'm betting you'll be pleasantly surprised.
I would go as far also to say, and I'm not doubting that Chris doesn't train hard, but I've never heard anybody not responding from a 10x10 routine. I mean, I would really like to see how he's doing the 10x10. If he's leaving anything in the gas tank or not. I'm not disputing that you're training hard. I've not heard anybody not respond to anything. There may be some other underlying issues as well, hormonal or something like that. We're going to take a break. When we come back, We're going to be answering Greg Geldart's question. Greg has tendonitis. Many of you may as well. You'll want to listen to this answer. You're listening to the Blueprint Power Hour, brought to you by Progenidrex. Go to CoachRobRegish.com today to learn more. We'll be right back.
From the makers of Mass Pro Synthogen, Progenidrex is finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training. Won't disrupt endocrine function and no need to cycle off. Visit PredatorNutrition.com and Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormonal anabolics. Progenidrex. If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin. Human by Rev Genetics today.
Have you tried Carbolin yet? It's what the pros use. At EFX Sports, we know athletes and we know what it takes to safely fuel their performance. That's why we created Carbolin, the ultimate formulated to win carbohydrate drink. Whether you want to quickly carb load before a big competition or you want to recover faster after a workout, Carbolin is the answer. Carbolin is sugar-free, gluten-free, and caffeine-free. Best of all, you can try Carbolin right now absolutely free. Just head over to GetCarbolin.com and sign up to receive a free sample of this amazing carbohydrate formula. Once again, that's GetCarbolin.com. GetCarbolin.com.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing. Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support, to weight management, to nervous system support, to detox and cleansing, and more. Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
It was a moonlit night.
Welcome back.
Old Mexico.
I actually did a show back in 2008 on the beach. Suddenly, at Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, and I used this music. That's where this music came from, Rob.
Wow.
How funny is that?
You got some great mashups, too.
Yeah. Greg Geldart says, I've got elbow tendonitis that just won't go away. I stretch, try to massage the area before and after exercise, but nothing doing. Any tips?
Well, it's not unlike what I'm struggling with right now, and I have picked up a few tips from the physical therapist and others, you know, that may help. First up is a capsaicin-based rub. Now, you've heard it, you know, it's bad to work a cold muscle, right, and always warm up. Well, that stuff certainly gets the warming up part going. A DMSO roll-on isn't a bad idea either, as it's a known and exceptional anti-inflammatory. Had it with me when I hit the knee, by the way. Next up is stretching. Never stretch statically, meaning without weights. Now, I've seen the study showing it decreases strength, but it didn't need to after trying it both ways. And yes, I know it's a hotly contested subject, but for me, I lose strength when I don't stretch with weights. You want to use a lightweight and thoroughly warm up the elbows. Your objective is to get a slight burn going, which, you know, indicates a good amount of blood has been forced into that area. Now, just as important is stretching the biceps. And for that, a light dumbbell is used on, let's say, an incline bench where you let the arms hang at your sides. Now, it's going to sound weird, but while the arms are hanging there, rotate the bells clockwise and counterclockwise, and you will feel the stretch in your biceps as well as your triceps and forearms. It looks unorthodox, but it works. Most important, though, is this, the breaking up of scar tissue, which is to say, after you put that capsaicin or DMSO on, take the dull end of a butter knife and go over the bicep, tricep, and forearm, okay? On the arm, without any tendonitis, what you're going to feel is it feels smooth. On the afflicted arm, it feels like there are train tracks running under the skin. And what that is scar tissue that's built up over the years. And your job is to break it up before and after exercise. Now, many will be surprised at just how much scar tissue that you have on your biceps, even though, you know, we've all kind of self-diagnosed ourselves with elbow tendonitis. Try it and see, because even without any aches or pains, it pays dues to break this scar tissue up before the body recognizes it as permanent and it alters muscle function or body mechanics. Really is something neat and something I think a lot of guys will be surprised if they try it.
Soft tissue injuries are a result of incomplete healing. What Rob is talking about is accurate. You have to re-injure the area, whether you do with a dull butter knife. What I like to do is I like to get a small bag, perhaps a burlap or some type of material, canvas, about 6 to 8 inches square, and then fill it with sand that you would take out of a kid's sandbox. Don't fill it completely. Fill it about 60 to 70% full. And then slam that against the area where the pain radiates from while you're watching television. If it's on the outside of the elbow, where that little knob is on the inside of the elbow, keep slamming it. It'll hurt the first couple times. It'll hurt less the second dozen times, even less the last two dozen times. Do that whenever you can. You'll find that it will heal much faster. Johnny Gray says, I'm not big on spending a lot of money on supplements except for the ones I know work, intra-workout like Synthogen. If I'm going to pick one other product besides creatine, what should it be?
Well, there are a lot of candidates out there, Johnny, but for my money, it'd be lecithin granules. Now, those became popular as a supplement originally, I think back in what Arnold's book, I first remember reading about it.
He, in fact, he called it a performance, a PED, a performance enhancing supplement, lecithin. Oh. So I thought that was interesting. That's in his Encyclopedia of Bodybuilding.
Yeah, it became popular as a supplement originally for lowering levels of bad cholesterol and triglycerides, cushioning joints, etc. It also increases your HDL, your good cholesterol, and it provides added benefits to patients that are already on medication for treating high cholesterol, although that's statins. I could rail against those all day. In addition to those cardiovascular benefits, lecithin helps to restore the liver, and specifically ones that have been damaged, as well as working with neurological functions such as memory. Since it's essentially composed of fat, it can act as a protective wall or a sheath throughout the body to protect and strengthen these membranes and prevent detrimental debris from sticking, quote-unquote sticking. Internal parts that may be affected negatively by hardening, such as hardening of the arteries, we've all heard it, those are kept malleable by lecithin in a natural way. Patients suffering from arteriosclerosis often start a regimen of lecithin in an effort to revert that condition as well. As a tool for heart health, it works to reverse and prevent damage then in things like coronary artery disease. It prevents cholesterol and other fats from sticking, which is big for anyone with a predisposition, obviously, to heart disease. But as you pointed out and touched on, Carl, it's the performance enhancement benefits that'll probably catch most listeners' ears. Now, I've seen one study done on the active ingredient. There are many in there, but they're speculating now it's this phosphatidic acid. This particular study showed a rate of 50% greater muscle gain, 40% greater increase in strength, and a whopping 60% better fat loss. And stuff like that catches people's eyes, even if they're overblown. The great news is there are 1,200 milligrams of phosphatidic acid in 2 tablespoons of lecithin granules. So simply adding 2 tablespoons a day, let's say before and after your workouts, it's a great starting point. And at that rate, a bottle is going to last you a full month, and it costs all of $10, right, on Amazon.com. So for what they're asking, I'd call that a must try.
And there's one other thing that is overlooked, and that's phosphatidylcholine. And choline is critical for all nerve activations, hence muscle contraction.
Isn't there PS in there too?
There's phosphatidylserine in there, but very, very small amounts. So you don't have to worry about it doing too bad of a job lowering your cortisol levels during training. But yes, it does have phosphatidylserine in it, phosphatidylcholine. Phospholipids are very, very important for cell membrane integrity. So it really is a good supplement. There's no doubt about it. Let's do this. Let's take one quick commercial break. And when we come back, we've got more questions to answer here on the Blueprint Power Hour.
From the makers of Mass Pro Synthogen, Progenidrex is finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training. Won't disrupt endocrine function and no need to cycle off. Visit PredatorNutrition.com and Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormonal anabolics. Progenidrex.
Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
Imagine if there was an organic, raw, extra virgin olive oil made from one-of-a-kind olives found in Sicily. And wouldn't it be amazing if the producer cared so much about the quality that they tested every batch for the important things that should be present in olive oil? Well, now there is. It's Papa Vince. For a limited time, you can get two bottles of Papa Vince 100% imported from Italy, organic raw EVOO for $39. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the link and call recommends. Taste and feel the difference. Papa Vince since 1935.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back to the Blueprint Power Hour, where Rob Regish, Coach Rob Regish, answers your questions about training, nutrition, supplements, and more. The next question comes from Tom Costello, and as soon as I can get to the page open, he says, I finally picked up a bottle of your Progenidrex. I'm 1 week in and impressed. Within the first couple of days, the alpha male feeling kicked in, and I had a much brighter mood. I became ravenously hungry, though. Is this normal? As the cycle progresses, I'll keep you updated on my progress. I'd like to know what stacks well with it, though, what to stay away from, etc., to make sure I get the most out of it. Any tips?
Well, first things first. I'm glad to hear that it's working well for you, Tom. And yes, the alpha male mood, I'll call it, is noticeable early. In fact, one of the reviewers over at PredatorNutrition.com, he said just that. He says, in use, Progenidrex can be felt within just a few days. He described it more as a feel-good effect outside the gym. but a controlled aggression in the gym. And that really is, I think, a crystal clear summarization of what you get with it. Whatever the case, it's one of the effects almost every user can count on. Now, the ravenous hunger that he's talking about is real, and it's a function of Progenitrex's first ingredient, anacyclosporethrum. You can't accelerate muscle growth, let's say, with herbs, okay? You can do it with food, though, and that is precisely what Progenitrex does. It leverages the effect of food, and this one ingredient makes you crave lots of good muscle-building food. And anacyclus does other things, too. The alcohol extract we use, for example, that's been shown to double testosterone. And it causes your muscles to suck up a lot more glycogen. You hear it over and over from guys, you know, I'm eating so many more carbs. And the weight they're putting on, for what it's worth, is not coming in the waist. It's all lean. So what's at work here? Was many an old-timer's observation of how muscle is really built. It's not just the workout. It's how you digest and assimilate your nutrients that matters. So if you're going to stack Progenitrex with anything, I'd say make it a lot of food. In addition to jamming more nutrients into the muscle, it has a rather profound anti-inflammatory effect. Let me give you an example. The anacyclus that we just discussed is known for that, as is Laxogenin. And I've discussed this before. The owner of Beyond a Century up in Maine, he told me at one point he sold, quote-unquote, caseloads of Laxogenin to lupus patients. What is less well-known or understood is that the R-alpha-lipoic acid that I use in the formula has anti-inflammatory properties too, as well as the disodium phosphate, which indirectly is giving you an anti-inflammatory effect. Why? Because it brings more water into the muscle cell and the joint, which provides this cushioning effect. So you'd want to stay away from pro-inflammatory products like XFA or arachidonic acid while using it, at least until such time as we get more feedback. Now, here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to write me a month in to review your progress. If you're like virtually everyone else, and every review over there has been very consistent about this, you're going to have an additional 4 to 6 pounds of muscle on your frame in a month's time. Nothing on your waist, and it sticks around, too. It really sticks around.
I mean, it really makes this product sound, at least from the reviews that you're getting from people who are paying for it. They're not reviewers. These are people who are buying it. It really makes this product sound like it delivers what it promises, which I think a lot of people are skeptical about because we've heard so many times that this product will make you more vascular and more this and more. And people take it and they don't really notice anything different. So it really does beg that people give it a try themselves.
Yeah, I guess we've all heard it as consumers over and over and over. You know, it's going to work. And when it doesn't, it gets old. But there are a couple things going on that are objective, things you can actually measure versus subjective. You know, how many times have you taken a product and said, well, you know, I think that worked. It feels like it's working. No. You know, when you use Progenitrex, there are a couple things going on that are very easily quantifiable. One is you will add 4 to 6 pounds in a month's time on the scale. Now, that's an easy trick. Right, with creatine and so forth, you can do that. But the feedback we are getting is such that none of it is in the waist. Matter of fact, I had one guy who actually dropped almost 2 inches on his off his waistline while he gained lean body mass.
What do you think? What is it in Progenidrex that causes a repartitioning effect? Because that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about repartitioning now.
I honestly think it's the combination. Anticyclus causes you to eat more. More of that food is being repartitioned right towards muscle and away from fat. On top of that, you've got these very strong anti-inflammatory actions, and you wind up with the tape measure making bigger circles in all the right places and either staying the same or getting smaller in the waist. So it's been a long time coming, but for my entire career, I have wanted to formulate a drug-free, hormone-free anabolic agent, and I've finally done it with this product.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to cover a blueprint tip of the day that may be the best one Rob has ever done. Most of us don't have the genetics to have big, thick calves. Most of us have to work hard for every millimeter that we add to our calves. So how many of you would like to be able to add 2 inches to your calves in just 24 hours? You ponder that question while we take a break. And if you're still around when we come back from the break, the answer is obviously yes, you want to do this, because Rob is going to teach you how. Stay tuned.
Makers of Mass Pro Synthogen, Progenidrex. It's finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training. Won't disrupt endocrine function and no need to cycle off. Visit PredatorNutrition.com and Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormonal anabolics. Progenidrex. If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise With Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. Internet. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle Bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Mr. Bombastic, we order some bombastic, romantic, fantastic lover. Shaggy. Mr. Lover, lover, lover.
Welcome back to the Blueprint Power Hour. Before we get into the adding 2 inches to your calves in 24 hours, which I know everybody is drooling over, Rob wanted to say something about Brooks Cubic's books, please.
Yeah, you know, I just heard the ad run for it, and I don't know how long he's been back, or even if he'd left as a sponsor. But I had the privilege of not only reading his works, but talking to him on the phone once. And specifically, I ordered Dinosaur Bodyweight Training, and I reread it the other night. It's been about a year since I picked it up. I couldn't believe the amount of information, tips, and tricks that I had forgotten. That are jam-packed into that book, and I have some of his other books as well. When you read things like History's Strongest Men and How They Trained, the information is priceless, absolutely priceless. It's not my stuff. I don't get one red cent for recommending this, but you please visit Brooks's website. What a great investment.
You know, I was just looking on, he's got a bunch of ebooks now, Kindle ebooks, and I don't know if Dinosaur Bodyweight Training is one of them, but he's got so many books up on Amazon today. It's worth going over there and looking to see if it's an ebook, because he's got these Kindle ebooks that are $9.95 or $9.99 each that you get them immediately and start using them. So,
yeah, how cool is that?
Okay, so the blueprint tip of the day, how to put 2 inches on your calves in 24 hours. Does it require injections of Synthol?
No injections, brother.
All right, I'm down for this. Let's hear it.
Drug free. Now, you've heard of my add 1 inch to your upper arms course.
Yes, wildly popular, wildly popular.
All right, but this new calf technique was discovered quite by accident. It is pie simple, too. And it's not going to take you all day in the gym, right, like the add 1 inch course. It's called severely bruising your tendons right around the kneecap.
Oh, you stinker, you.
All right. Now, at the top of the show, you heard me say, I did this wrestling. What happened was we were on the edge of the mats where my right knee went down hard, not into the mat, but into the floor. So at first, yeah, it hurt, but I didn't see any visible bruising. So I continued some light technique work with Ed. But when I got up the next morning, I'm looking at both of my knees, and I couldn't believe the difference around the kneecaps. Not just the kneecaps, but the calves and even the ankle had blown up considerably on the afflicted knee. So, right there and then, I thought, presto, I just added 2 inches to my calf. You know, I got the tape measure out. Believe it or not, as sick as this sounds, I was actually excited. So I snapped a picture of it, but it was kind of disappointing because it looked like a glazed ham. And when your ankle is now a cankle, it takes away from the sweep effect. So those 2 inches I added just didn't look as cool as they sounded.
The reality is that statics work the best for people. We've talked about this on the show before. If you're one of those people whose calves just don't grow from walking, because there are people out there like that, and you've sat on the seated calf raise or stood on the standing calf raise and bounced up and down like a child on a pogo stick with the entire stack pinned and can't understand why your calves won't get any larger, you may want to try doing static holds for your calves. You have to give the calves something they're not accustomed to. The calves get thousands of reps every single day. Thousands. And they're not going to respond to three sets of 12 or 15, even if you've got 480 pounds pinned on the damn calf machine. What they will respond to is a deep, deep stretch followed by a complete contraction, and hold that contraction until you can't hold it any longer. Then go back down painfully into that deep, deep stretch, and then get off and try and walk, first of all. Get off and try and walk, but then walk it off for a couple minutes and get back on and do that again. And if you do that on calf days for 5 days that you train calves, you will see more progress in those five training sessions than you saw in the entire 5 years prior of you bouncing up and down on the calf raise machine. I even see guys, Rob, on the seated calf machine.
Yeah.
They release the weight and then they hold on to the part that's moving up and down with their hands and lean back. And they're literally, it looks like a kid on a, I want to put a nickel in like the rocking horse in front of Woolworths. You know, when the kids used to, whoa, daddy. It's like, what are you doing? You're not training your calves. You're playing the rocking horse game there. Let go of the friggin' thing and let your calves do the work.
You're 100% spot on. I was cursed with, chicken legs, so to speak. And the one thing that has helped my calves are static holds.
Nothing works like static holds. I don't care. And even if you don't do them every time, do them every third workout, do them every second workout, do them every fifth workout. But if you're not doing statics for calves, you're missing out on all the growth potential in your calves.
Yeah. Well, once you see the results, pretty soon you'll be doing them exclusively.
Yeah. I don't get on that calf machine anymore and pin all the weight and stand there and do five sets of 15s. I go all the way down and stretch my old tendons, and then I go all the way up on the balls and big toe. Okay? Not on the outside of the foot, on the balls and big toe, so that calf is painfully contracted, and I hold that until it starts to quiver and I have to let it go. And you'll know if you were affected, because when you get off, if you can walk, you didn't hold it long enough, because I can't walk. I can't even get my ankles to move for probably a good 15 to 30 seconds while I'm waiting for the congested blood to exit my calves.
Yeah. You got to experience it to believe it.
Nobody wants to do it. You know why, Rob? It hurts like a motherfather.
Yeah, I know. Pain is the...
It hurts. It's very painful to do this. And that's how you know you did it right. If it's painful, you go, oh, I'm doing it right.
Yeah. Well, be that as it may, the swelling got so bad, I eventually went to an urgent care facility to get checked out. And that's saying a lot.
Yeah, it could have been a clot. It could have been a thrombotic, deep vein thrombosis.
Exactly. I had all these terrible things running through my mind. The bad news is that injuries like this take a good 6 weeks to heal, sometimes longer. The good news is they took x-rays and, specifically the guy looking at it said, my knee looked great. He says, you have no wear and tear issues, your tendons and ligaments, et cetera. They're all in the right place. Nothing was torn, just some severe bruising and swelling that was going on. Yeah. So after wrapping it, they gave me an immobilization brace. So they showed me how to put it on, and I walked around on it for a little bit, and then they asked me what I thought of it. I said, well, I can't bend my leg. They said,
that's the idea.
Yeah.
You
would be surprised at how difficult things like driving a car, getting off a couch, et cetera, are.
How about sitting down on the toilet bowl and getting back up on your own?
Right, you got to do one-legged squats.
Yeah, pistol squat. Hey, get it? Pistol squats. I got to do a pistol squat.
Yeah, in short, with this brace on, life really sucks. So it may be cavalier on my part, but the immobilization brace is history. I just chucked that thing. I can't see wearing it for 6 weeks or whatever, I can't see that helping. Now, the next thing I did was to see what I could do with it. Now, I can still walk. I can still even perform body weight squats without too much difficulty. Tranquilligen, probably due to the curcumin content, it knocks the pain out. So that's in the mix, as is that DMSO roll-on that I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
They curiously noted, the guy's looking at it and he says, you know, given how swollen this thing is, I don't see any bruising around the knee. And then I silently wondered if that was because I immediately applied DMSO to it after I went down. So a couple of the other things I can do. I can also drag the sled forward and backward, which I think is absolutely fantastic because at least I can still work my conditioning, right, and start rebuilding some leg strength. Doing it their way, I'd be atrophying in some brace for 6 weeks. In fact, I found something online about pulling a sled backwards being a fantastic for rehabbing patellar tendonitis, mm-hmm. or so-called jumper's knee. Now, this is all very, very foreign to me. I've been so fortunate. I've never had a knee injury, so I'm still processing all of this. I can still do my body weight circuit. And yes, I'm still even doing some light wrestling, working on technique. So my question for anyone listening is this. Have you had a similar injury? And if so, what did you find that was helpful in terms of rehabbing it? Because sometimes it's not just listeners that need my help, right? I haven't had many injuries, so I would greatly appreciate hearing from anyone in the audience that has, and in particular a knee injury.
We just got a message on Facebook from a live listener whose name will be left out. He said weed. Start smoking weed. The pain goes away.
Well, I wish that was an option, but it's not.
I tell you what it is, all joking aside, cannabidiol oil, which is legal because it's extracted from hemp, which is a powerful pain reliever. Powerful. More powerful than aspirin or anything.
It got bad, so bad last night. I finally broke down. And instead of using ibuprofen or acetaminophen, I broke out the kratom. And I'll tell you, if you've ever doubted kratom's analgesic powers, you won't after using it for something like this.
I saw a head shop the other day. There's a head shop here in Louisville called Puff Puff Pass, and they have a big neon sign in the window that says kratom.
Yeah, I've never been in a head shop per se. But I will say this, you know, a three-legged table is no good to anyone.
Yeah.
When somebody takes out your knee, it's not like even screwing up your lower back. I can still do hip belt squats, right? When somebody takes out your knee or you get it taken out, it really puts a damper in your day. But it's nothing that's going to stop me. With Ed's help, I'm still going to keep wrestling and learning light technique, and I'll still gain on my body weight stuff. Believe it.
Rob, thanks so much for the Blueprint Power Hour today. Everybody go to CoachRobRegish.com, and we'll see you next week for more. Right, Rob?
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Talk to you then. We're going to take one quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about strength and body mass as indicators of cardiometabolic risk factors and markers, because there may be something to this idea that if you are mildly to moderately obese, it still would pay off to get yourself as fit as possible. Let's see. Stay tuned, Brett. One, two, three.
punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workout the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Imagine if there was an organic, raw, extra virgin olive oil made from one-of-a-kind olives found in Sicily. And wouldn't it be amazing if the producer cared so much about the quality that they tested every batch for the important things that should be present in olive oil? Well, now there is. It's Papa Vince. For a limited time, you can get 2 bottles of Papa Vince 100% imported from Italy, organic, raw, EVOO, for $39. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the link and call recommends. Taste and feel the difference. Papa Vince since 1935.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Have you tried Carbolin yet? It's what the pros use. At EFX Sports, we know athletes and we know what it takes to safely fuel their performance. That's why we created Carbolin, the ultimate formulated to win carbohydrate drink. Whether you want to quickly carb load before a big competition or you want to recover faster after a workout, Carbolin is the answer. Carbolin is sugar-free, gluten-free, and caffeine-free. Best of all, you can try Carbolin right now absolutely free. Just head over to GetCarbolin.com and sign up to receive a free sample of this amazing carbohydrate formula. Once again, that's GetCarbolin.com. GetCarbolin.com.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back. So, my next guest just reminded me that he's a returning guest. That's pretty sad when the guest has to tell you that. I'm sorry about that. We're talking with Dr. Christian Roberts from UCLA. How you doing, Dr. Roberts?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
And welcome back. And we're talking about a new paper that was published that is really an important one, considering the rate of obesity in the country and the world. And that is Strength and Fitness. I'm sorry, strength, fitness, and body weight status on markers of cardiometabolic health. So let's start out with the question that you were trying to answer in this research, and then we'll talk about the design of the study and its outcome and the implications.
So the question that we were trying to answer in this study was to get at some of these issues with respect to this push for people to lose weight and how important body weight is in terms of cardiovascular and metabolic health. And so to do so, we wanted to take this, take a look at this using a little bit of a different approach by recruiting subjects that either had an elevated body weight with and without training compared to a group that was normal weight and trained.
And how was the study designed?
So the study was designed where we had three groups. The group that we were really interested in comparing with the other two groups was a group that we referred to as overweight and strength trained. So this group had a BMI of all the subjects in this group had a BMI at least 27. So they were either in the high end of the overweight category or they were considered to be class one obese, which would be a BMI between 30 and 35. And they performed a minimum of 4 days a week of strength training. And we compared this group with the elevated BMI and the strength training program with two other groups. The first group was matched for the body weight, so they also had a BMI greater than 27, but they didn't do any structured training at all. Or a group that we refer to as normal weight and trained, so their BMI was less than 25, and they also performed at least 4 days a week of structured strength training.
But see, I have a small problem with the one assumption, and that is a BMI of 30 or above and training. Because at that point in time, I mean, because that's me. I could have been one of the subjects in your research. I have a BMI of 31 right now, and I would not consider myself someone who falls into any of the obesity categories at all. I mean, I'm very lean. I do carry a little bit of body fat around my waist, but that could disappear quickly with a little diligent dieting. But the majority of my weight is a result of muscle, of lean body mass. So how does that? So we're really not looking at an obese person unless we understand that this person's body is made up of some amount of body fat that is greater than what we consider, you know, to be the norm or healthy or something like that.
Yeah. So the reason why we chose those inclusion criteria was kind of actually to get at the point that you're getting at, and that is that we simply chose those points. For emphasizing that we were going to use the criteria that currently exists in the literature, which is the body weight status. So
okay.
We recruited them simply based upon the BMI. Now, as we go through the study, it will become apparent that actually what you're saying has some truth to it. So I agree with you 100%.
Okay. Okay.
That simply looking at the BMI may not be an appropriate criteria, and that was kind of why we looked at it in this fashion, because we wanted to say, you know, look, the guidelines are that if you have a BMI between 25 and 30, you're at increased risk for cardiovascular disease, diabetes, and mortality. And there's actually a paper in 2013. In JAMA that suggests that that's actually not true. So this is one of the reasons why we wanted to look at do this particular study to try to get at that this conundrum and trying to break this dogma and look at this in a little bit different way, because I think there really needs to be a paradigm shift, as you allude to, with respect to the idea about how important and the importance that we place on BMI.
But one fear I have is that the mainstream media loves to pander. Let's face it. The majority of Americans today, at least 40% of them, find themselves in what would be considered the obese category. And these people really are obese. I mean, they're not they're not 230 pounds of lean body mass and 25 pounds of body fat. They're, you know, 140 pounds of lean body mass and 230 pounds total weight. And so my fear is the mainstream media will see this and go, oh, see, fat people are healthy. Because, you know, they've been trying to promote this. And I can use this term because I used to be 330 pounds. I am a card-carrying fat person. Okay? So I don't want to insult anybody listening to the show and say, oh, my God, did he just say fat people? Yeah, I'm talking about me too. But when I was obese and where I am now, these are vastly different results of repartitioning. And my fear is that the mainstream media is going to go, oh, we can call this headline C, fat people can be healthy. They just have to exercise. Has that happened yet?
Well, a couple points with respect to that. Number one is there are some studies that do suggest that.
We've addressed those, and we've cut through those. But, yeah, we've addressed those here on the show.
Yeah. So the first study would be the study that looked at the relationship between BMI and mortality. And what they showed was that really anything below a BMI of 35 is really a flat line. If you compare normal weight people to the quote unquote overweight category or the class one obese. So it's really the class two obese, which is the BMI greater than 35, which is the one you're alluding to. Those individuals that might have 140 pounds of lean, but they weigh 230, so they have 90 pounds of fat. Generally, those people, if they're short, of course, then they would fall into the class 2 or class 3 obese category. And in most cases, those individuals would not be metabolically healthy.
Right.
There are a couple of exceptions, and we refer to those as metabolically healthy obese people. Most of the metabolically healthy obese people, however, fall into the category of the class 1 of the 30 to 35. And in addition, as you've mentioned, those that are in the overweight category, 25 to 30, they do not have an elevated risk for mortality. And even if you look at people like, President Bush had a BMI of 28, but he exercised regularly, no one would classify him as overweight. So I think the whole concept of the BMI has been skewed, and I don't know if you've really ever looked at this, but what I've done is I've looked at how the BMI criteria came to be in the beginning, and isn't it a little bit peculiar that the BMI cut points happen to be these perfectly classified numbers of 20, 30, and 35?
Yeah. No, I know. We've actually addressed the guy who gave us the cholesterol theory of heart disease. Why am I going to forget his name now? But we've actually talked about the origins of BMI, and I agree completely with you, and I know that you are part of this choir. It's just frustrating to me that some of these things get repeated within the media, and it's false, and a lot of people are being misled just so that they're satisfied with the news that they're reading. The other thing I want to address before we get into the details of your study is those people who are on their way to being class 2 and 3. They're the class 1, and they're kind of flatline. The analogy I've given is, you know, you can buy a Mini Cooper, and you can pull a fifth wheel with it, and it'll probably last about a year. But it's guaranteed that the wear and tear of that job is going to take its toll, and that Mini Cooper will not have the usable lifespan that one that was just driven to and from work would have. And those people who are on their way to class 2, but right now, the snapshot is, my doctor says my triglycerides are fine, my blood sugar is fine. There is a trend there that they're ignoring. Yes, right now, at this moment in time, you don't have those markers, but there's a trend. You're moving in a direction that if you don't do something now to go back the other direction, you will move on and be unhealthy. And I don't want people to, my fear is the media tried to promote this, as you pointed out in that research, that, hey, you know what? You can be fat and be healthy at the same time. Yes, you can. You can also smoke cigarettes and not have cancer for a period of time, but you will increase the risk of developing cancer the longer you smoke.
Yeah, in some cases, you are correct that you would get this creeping obesity phenomenon, and that as time goes by, people that would be in the class 1 may end up in the class 2 and 3. That being said, yeah, if they change their lifestyle and they exercise regularly and they eat healthy, they probably will not end up in the class 2 and 3 category, and if anything, may keep their body weight the same or actually lose weight.
Good. All right, we're going to take one quick commercial break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to get deeper into the discussion about the markers of cardio metabolic risk factors in individuals with a higher BMI, but seem to be stronger and more fit. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Have you tried Carbaline yet? It's what the pros use. At EFX Sports, we know athletes and we know what it takes to safely fuel their performance. That's why we created Carbaline, the ultimate formulated to win carbohydrate drink. Whether you want to quickly carb load before a big competition or you want to recover faster after a workout, Carbaline is the answer. Carbaline is sugar-free, gluten-free, and caffeine-free. Best of all, you can try Carbaline right now absolutely free. Just head over to GetCarbaline.com and sign up to receive a free sample of this amazing carbohydrate formula. Once again, that's GetCarbaline.com. GetCarbaline.com.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need Metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workouts the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Christian Roberts from the Exercise Physiology and Metabolic Disease Research Lab at UCLA about strength, fitness, and body weight status on markers of cardiometabolic health. So let's go back to the actual design of the study. So you had overweight trained overweight untrained and normal weight trained individuals in these three groups, correct?
That's correct, Carl.
Okay. And so, did you monitor how they trained? Did you dictate how they should train? Or these people were already training when they came and fit into one of these groups?
So this was a cross-sectional study. So when they came to us, we asked them how many days a week that they did strength training, and it had to be at least 4 days a week of some type of structured program that they were designing on their own.
Okay, cool. Very cool. And the individuals that were untrained, was there we were talking about the inadequacies in BMI, but even from a visual inspection, could you tell that these people had more muscle than the obese untrained individuals in the group?
I mean, even before we did the body composition testing by DEXA scans, you could tell by visual inspection that in general they had more lean body mass.
Cool. Okay. All right. So they underwent this study, and how long was the study? How long did you watch them for?
This was a cross-sectional study. So we recruited the 90 subjects, based upon whether they fit in those two criteria based upon the BMI and the amount of strength training. And then they simply came in for, a visit, where we did, DEXA scan, we did blood draw, we measured their strength, and, we also had them fill out some questionnaires.
How did you measure their strength? How did you assess their strength? Leg press or something like that?
Yeah, so we did one repetition maximum testing for the bench press, the back row, and the leg press.
And the overweight trained individuals, did they exhibit what you would consider average strength for someone who trained in a gym, or did were some of them very strong?
There was quite a distribution. So some of them were, they had high strength levels, but there were some that, based upon their training, based upon their amount of lean body mass, the length of the training, the type of training that they were doing, but there was quite a distribution in terms of their strength level. Some of them had moderate strength levels and some of them had very high strength levels. But what we did was, we took the strength that they exhibited on the 1RM testing, and then we divided it by the body weight so that we could get an assessment of what we refer to as their relative strength.
Yeah, coefficient. That's
the,
great.
And the relative strength, the relative strength of the two trained groups was nearly identical and both higher than the untrained group. So even though the overweight trained group did have more lean body mass than the normal weight trained group, when we normalized that to their body weight, their strength levels was virtually identical.
Very cool. Very cool. Okay, so you looked at these different markers. What markers did you look at?
So the first thing that we did is we did the DEXA scan, and the DEXA scan basically demonstrated, as you alluded to, that the group that was overweight trained had less body fat than the group that was overweight untrained. In addition, however, the overweight trained group had more body fat than the normal weight trained group. So that was the first thing that we did, was we did body composition testing to look at the amount of total body fat, trunk fat, and lean body mass.
Okay. Okay. You also looked at blood pressure, correct?
Yeah. So then we did a battery of testing. So we looked at blood pressure, both peripheral blood pressure, which you use the traditional cuffing method, as well as the central blood pressure. And the reason we measured central blood pressure at the aorta was because central blood pressure is actually a better predictor of cardiovascular disease than brachial blood pressure. And we used a technique called applanation tonometry that didn't only allow us to measure the central blood pressure, but we were also able to measure an index of how well the cardiac muscle is getting perfused with blood, and how stiff the arteries are.
Wow, very cool. Did you look at things like any inflammatory markers, like C-reactive protein or any of the necrosis factors, anything like that?
Yeah, so we took blood samples and we measured a battery of inflammatory markers, hormones, and other markers that are related to both type 2 diabetes and cardiovascular disease.
And I would imagine you looked at blood sugar, blood glucose levels, and what do they call that, C-peptide, insulin?
We did look at glucose and insulin levels as well.
Okay. So what was the outcome when you started comparing these three groups to each other?
So we hypothesized that the group that was overweight and strength trained, first let me give a little bit of background on this. If the group that was overweight and strength trained had phenotypes, or cardiometabolic risk markers that were similar to the group that was overweight and untrained, then we could say that the body weight was more important in predicting their cardiometabolic health.
Right.
However, if the group that was overweight and strength trained had cardiometabolic phenotypes that were similar to the normal weight and strength trained group, then we could say that the training was more important. And we hypothesized that we would see the latter. That is, that the group that was overweight and strength trained, despite the fact that they weighed more, despite the fact that they had more body fat, because they were strength trained, they would have similar cardiometabolic phenotypes to the group that was lean and strength trained. And for virtually every variable that we measured, that was what we found, that the two groups that were trained had better phenotypes than the group that was overweight and untrained.
Now, I find it interesting that you were pointing at the training and not at the acquisition of muscle. And I understand training begets muscle, but it's almost like saying the person who opens books tends to graduate college, where people who don't open books don't graduate college, when the college degree is really the value in the statement. And the reason I say that is because I've been saying for 10 years that muscle is metabolic currency. And is it the acute effect of training that changed this, or is it the acquisition of and carrying of more muscle? And because muscle is an organ. It's producing leptin. It's producing all sorts of hormones and so on.
Well, when I refer to that, I'm just referring to the fact that that's how we separated out the groups, was based upon their training status. In other words, whether or not they were strength trained. And because of the fact that the two groups that were strength trained had higher levels of muscle strength, they performed more strength training, and they had higher strength fitness, then it was the strength fitness that was eliciting the benefit that we noted. Now, that being said, we didn't determine whether or not the effect of lean body mass, the only thing we could really do in a cross-sectional study like this is to run some correlations of the relationship between either body weight or fat mass or strength fitness or lean body mass with some of the variables that we measured. And what we generally found was that there were correlations between strength and the cardiometabolic phenotypes. That is, if they had higher strength, they had better markers. And if they had higher body fat, they had lower markers. But we generally did not see the same strength of the associations when we took a look at lean body mass compared to the strength levels, which suggested to us that the strength per se might have been a better predictor of the health outcomes than the lean body mass.
Gotcha. No, that's good.
I mean, that's notwithstanding that there is a direct link between lean body mass and strength. It's just in a smaller study like this, generally the strength was a little bit better of a predictor of the health outcomes than the lean body mass was.
A great follow-up study would be to take these same individuals who exhibited strength and had provided specific lean body mass measurements under DEXA, and have them detrain, have them not train for some period of time, and watch to see if there's a relationship between the loss in strength, the loss in muscle, and the changes in their cardiometabolic risk markers. That would be really interesting. We're going to take a quick commercial break. I want to come back and I want to talk about blood sugar and insulin, because it seemed that that did not seem to be as promising in the trained obese individuals. You're listening to Super Human Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing, and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer e-books, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Super Human Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Imagine if there was an organic, raw, extra virgin olive oil made from one-of-a-kind olives found in Sicily. And wouldn't it be amazing if the producer cared so much about the quality that they tested every batch for the important things that should be present in olive oil? Well, now there is. It's Papa Vince. For a limited time, you can get 2 bottles of Papa Vince 100% imported from Italy, organic, raw, EVOO, for $39. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the link and call recommends. Taste and feel the difference. Papa Vince since 1935.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest protein bar, now comes the Quest high protein potato chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
What up, y'all? Yeah. Soundtrack, what's poppin', baby? Woo. If y'all ain't know, I go by the name of Lupe Fiasco. Representing that first and 15. Yeah.
And this welcome right back. Here, I dedicate this one right here to all my homies. We're talking to Dr. Christian Roberts. We're talking about... Well, basically, in layman's terms, if you're overweight and you train... and you're very strong and you carry a lot of muscle, you may be seeing some protective effects from your training and your muscle to a lot of the damning effects of obesity. Now, obviously, there's a point of diminishing returns, as we discussed in the beginning of the show. So, Dr. Roberts, talk about blood glucose levels and insulin. This did not seem to the exercise and the amount of lean body mass did not seem to affect this like it did other markers. Is that correct, or did I misread that?
No, you're correct, Carl, in that as far as all of the markers that we measured, whether they were physiological measures or whether they were blood measures, the glucose and the insulin levels were the only two markers that we noted that generally didn't fall along the same lines, where both training groups had better levels than the group that was untrained, and that was a little bit of a surprise to us. However, we did point out in the paper that really measuring fasting glucose and insulin levels might not really give you a great picture of how these, you know, how glucose and insulin are functioning in your body in a dynamic state. And really what you need to do in that case is you really need to do some type of test to measure either glucose tolerance or insulin sensitivity. And I will point out that we had another paper that was published about 2 years ago where we took the individuals that were in the overweight untrained group and we did strength train them for 12 weeks. And when we strength trained them for 12 weeks, they didn't have any difference in their fasting glucose or insulin levels in response to the training program. But we did see an improvement in both glucose tolerance and insulin sensitivity in this group when we did an oral glucose tolerance test.
Could this simply be because, and I know this is a pretty dumbed down question, but could this simply be a phenomenon of, you know, if you've got more fields to water, you've got to have a lot more water available. If you're a bigger person, could it be that blood sugar levels need to be a little bit higher, almost as a prophylactic effect to the demand of the bigger body moment to moment?
Generally, no, because just, you know, keep in mind, remember that when you measure these, you're measuring at concentration. So when you have a bigger person, you do have a greater blood volume. So you would have more total glucose.
Gotcha, right.
But in terms of the concentration of glucose, it should still be the same.
Well, I mean, do we know what the body fat percentages were, the range in the trained, the overweight trained versus the overweight untrained?
Yes. So as I alluded to before, the body fat percentage, and this would mean that the total amount of fat in terms of kilograms of fat mass was higher in the overweight trained compared to the normal weight trained group. That being said, you know, your listeners should be clued in now that despite the fact that the overweight trained group had more body fat, their numbers were the same as the normal weight trained group, which suggests that it's not the fat mass that is the factor that is contributing to differences in cardiometabolic health, and it was really the fitness level that was more important.
But what I was wondering was, is it possible that the fat mass is affecting blood glucose levels? And I was looking for actual percentages. Like, in other words, the overweight untrained and the overweight trained individuals, for instance, was the mean body fat percentage of the overweight trained group, say, 16 or 17% body fat versus the overweight untrained were like 29 and 32% body fat?
So the body fat percentage of the normal weight train was about 13% on average,
okay.
And the overweight train, the mean body fat percentage was 18. So those would both be considered fairly low,
yeah.
And so that probably wasn't a major factor. You know, although in the overweight train group, we did have some subjects who had pretty high body fat percentages.
In the overweight trained group, you just said, right?
Or overweight. Yeah, in the overweight trained group, we did have some that had fairly high body fat percentages.
Okay, now what about the overweight untrained group? What were the average body fat percentages there?
The overweight untrained group had a body fat percentage of around 28%.
Yeah, that's what I said. I even said that, 28 to 32. That's surprising. I again, the blood sugar levels kind of how much higher are we talking about? You know, obviously worthy of mentioning, but not dramatically higher blood sugar levels of the overweight train group.
So the overweight train group, you know, their fasting glucose was, you know, around 91.
Yeah, that's high. That's high.
And the overweight train group was about 88. So those, you know, compared to 82 in the normal weight train. So it wasn't statistically better in the overweight train compared to the overweight untrained.
Okay, I have a question, Dr. Roberts. Did they have to fill out any type of diary about sleep?
No, we didn't. We didn't do any sleep questionnaires. Although, you know, it sounds like you definitely can appreciate the fact that sleep is an important factor.
I look at myself. Okay, so I weighed myself this morning. I'm 234 pounds. I'm 6'1", 6'2", depending on if I stand up straight or not. Last time I did my BMI using a BMI calculator, I was 31. My fasting blood sugar is generally between 67 and 74, but I go to bed every night at 9 p.m. and I get up every morning at 5 a.m. I stop eating 3 hours before bedtime. I mean, I have a certain protocol that I live by, and I work very, very hard to get good sleep every single night. And I know the nights I was struggling with some snoring and mild obstructive sleep apnea that I've now got in check. I can tell you the mornings where I slept like crap the night before, my blood sugar level was at least 10 points to 15 points higher. So I look at this and I think, well, what could that? And then I think, well, a lot of people like to stay up late to watch Jimmy Kimmel. They go to sleep, they get up in the morning, and their blood sugar levels are crap. So I'm just wondering if, you know, if we looked at this group, but somehow had individuals that adhered to good sleep hygiene, good sleep practices, if we would see different blood sugar levels.
It's possible. You know, it may be that the two groups that are in the training groups generally are more concerned about their health in general. So not only would they be training, but they might be more aware of their sleep patterns. They may be eating healthier, and other factors that may contribute to their health, that may lead to different, levels of glucose. I mean, I think that, you know, there are probably a handful of factors that might contribute to why we didn't see the overweight train respond the same in terms of fasting glucose and insulin. I will point out that when we did do a surrogate for insulin sensitivity, which is based upon fasting glucose and insulin, the overweight trained group and the normal weight trained group were both better than the overweight untrained group. And so that leads us to believe that maybe if we did a more dynamic test for insulin sensitivity, like an oral glucose tolerance test, we might have found that the two trained groups were better than the overweight untrained group in terms of how well they responded to glucose and insulin.
Okay. All right, we're going to take our last commercial break. When we come back, I'd like you to tell the audience, both lay people and then maybe another statement for clinicians, what you'd like people to take away from this research. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You, too, can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Have you tried Carbaline yet? It's what the pros use. At EFX Sports, we know athletes and we know what it takes to safely fuel their performance. That's why we created Carbaline, the ultimate formulated to win carbohydrate drink. Whether you want to quickly carb load before a big competition or you want to recover faster after a workout, Carbaline is the answer. Carbaline is sugar-free, gluten-free, and caffeine-free. Best of all, you can try Carbaline right now absolutely free. Just head over to GetCarbaline.com and sign up to receive a free sample of this amazing carbohydrate formula. Once again, that's GetCarbaline.com. GetKarbolyn.com.
New from the makers of Mass Pro Synthogen, Progenidrex. It's finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training. Won't disrupt endocrine function and no need to cycle off. Visit PredatorNutrition.com and Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormonal anabolics. Progenidrex.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now, you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workouts the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's ultimate stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
For the best in real world, no nonsense, result producing and effective strength training, muscle building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay, sprint on over to BrooksCubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle Bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to BrooksCubic.com right now.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Christian Roberts. This is important stuff, too, because there's a lot of people out there who are mildly obese. They're going up that path. And obviously, resistance training could help them mitigate some of the damaging effects of obesity, but more importantly, maybe even have them turn things around. So, Dr. Roberts, what do you hope, first of all, lay people take away from this most current paper?
Well, Carl, I hope that lay people can take away the understanding of a couple of things. Number one is that even if they have mildly elevated body fat levels that might classify them into the overweight or class one obese category, they train regularly. They can understand that their numbers are likely to be better than individuals that don't do any training. And so, you know, a lot of times individuals, when they go to the doctor and the doctor just simply tells them they need to lose weight and the doctor doesn't focus on exercise.
Right.
That if they're doing regular strength training, this can really have a positive impact on their risk for diseases like cardiovascular disease and type 2 diabetes. You know, and the other thing is that you know, I think they really need to understand that, you know, the media and the perception out there in the population is that, you know, being overweight is a bad thing. But a lot of times, this is, again, based upon what we've talked about earlier in the conversation today, is based upon the BMI. But we do know that even our overweight trained subjects, even though they had a little bit higher body fat levels than our normal weight trained subjects, they were still considered to be relatively lean. They were overweight by the BMI category, but they were just as healthy as someone who was in the normal weight range. And this whole concept about how important the BMI number is and body weight and weight loss, I think, you know, my research is really interested in looking at the necessity to really have a paradigm shift in the way we look at fitness versus body weight in terms of.
Well, and I'd like to throw something at it. So there is a very popular doctor, and I'm not going to name him just because I haven't gotten his approval to mention him on the show, that was posting on Facebook recently and said, you know, those of us within the physical culture community, we always say, you know, BMI is flawed, it's useless, because it actually it prejudices against us, because, you know, like recently I had to renew my life insurance, and according to the BMI, I'm obese. And I, you know, when the girl came out to take my blood, my blood pressure and all that sort of stuff, obviously she was able to recognize that I'm not obese, but it still went down on my paperwork that my BMI was 31, and that put me in a category. And this particular doctor said, look, you know, those of you who are within the strength and conditioning community who say BMI needs to be done away with, I do not see any patients in my practice who are hypermuscular, and the BMI applies to them. So is it possible that the BMI applies to the majority of Americans who are going to walk into a doctor's office, so we can't scrap it? Because that's his opinion.
Yeah, I generally don't agree with what he said. I mean, one possibility is a lot of the people that he's going to see don't do any exercise, and so they need to go to the physician's office, right? So that may be, you know, a biased population sample that he's seeing. I mean, in general, the data is pretty clear that fitness is a better predictor of, whether it's aerobic fitness or, like in our study, strength fitness is a better predictor not only of cardiovascular and metabolic health, but cardiovascular mortality as well as all-cause mortality. Fitness is a better predictor than body weight. In fact, fitness is a better predictor than body composition, and fitness is a better predictor than what we refer to as metabolic syndrome, which is a lot of the traditional risk factors for heart disease. So I think most physicians have really underestimated the impact of fitness and overestimated the impact of body weight and BMI.
Well, and to your point, as you said earlier in this discussion, that if physicians understood the value, I mean, I've been talking about muscle. I've been saying, you know, the medical orthodoxy ignores the importance of muscle, but in that is strength as well, because you acquire muscle by progressive resistance training, which improves strength. And, you know, if physicians realized the protective effects of strength training and muscle, then they would want to be able to prescribe personal trainers to say, look, I want you to take this patient. My next scheduled visit is 6 months. I want to see a 3 to 10% increase in overall strength in this person, because that's going to be more protective than any drug that they could prescribe.
Yeah, you know, you're really preaching to the choir there once again, and you've actually really opened up a can of worms in the sense that, you know, the vast majority of physicians in the United States don't really have any training in exercise physiology. Or in the understanding of the importance of fitness, and of course, you know, the organizations like the American College of Sports Medicine is trying to get medical students to understand that they need to have some training and modify.
But wait a minute, do they really need some training, Dr. Roberts? I mean, the average physician doesn't know how to pull a tooth, but if he has a patient in his office who's holding their jaw, he will refer them out to a dentist.
You know, that's true, but you would be surprised, Carl, that you would imagine that someone who has a medical degree would understand some of the basics in the literature of how important fitness is. But mm-hmm. invariably, when a patient goes to the doctor's office, the first thing that the physician tells them is they need to lose weight. And the second thing that the physician does is prescribe medications to the patient, which, you know, many times have deleterious side effects, instead of, you know, giving them a prescription for exercise, which is common in other countries to give a prescription for exercise and to measure fitness as a vital sign. You know, we're still measuring things like, of course, body weight. Anyone can look in the mirror and know whether they're overweight or not, or measuring someone's body temperature, but we don't have any measurements of fitness in the doctor's office, which we know now is the best predictor of health,
yeah,
is our fitness level.
It's amazing, and I'm thinking about it, and I'm thinking, well, why is that? And it's because you have to be able to make billions of dollars on fitness in order to spend the money to do the research, to put people on the street, to walk into doctor's offices and say, hey, when you have a patient that's has these markers, send them to this personal trainer. You know, it's, unless Pfizer gets into the personal training certification business, we're not going to see this happen in our lifetime.
Yeah, that's one of the very key factors that you bring up is the fact that there really isn't a cash cow when it comes to improving someone's fitness level. You know, you don't get paid. The physician doesn't get paid if they were able to prevent the need for a bypass surgery or an angioplasty or prescription of statins or metformin or other medications to improve cardiovascular health. So, you know, that being said, I would say that I think there's plenty of money out there for physicians, even if they were able to get, say, 20 to 30% of their patients to exercise and decrease the need for medications and surgeries. We could reduce our healthcare costs throughout the country dramatically and improve the quality of life for many in the population.
Listen to that. I just thought about it, you know. So the incentive for a physician to prescribe drugs is indirect, okay? And what I mean by that is it's becoming harder and harder for physicians to reap the benefits in the way of incentivization or, you know, kickbacks and so on to prescribe drugs. So the doctors, by and large, there's no real incentive for them to prescribe drugs. What physicians need to do is go, wait a minute, here's an opportunity for me to build a revenue center in my practice. I'm going to hire two personal trainers. I'm going to bring them in just like I have a PA and, you know, and whatever. And I'm going to bring them in here and I'm going to start prescribing exercise, and I'm going to fill that prescription, and I don't need some little cute girl from some pharmaceutical company to come in here and bring me samples. This is something I can make money at myself. And on top of that, feel good because I am doing the best thing I can do for my patients at that moment.
Yeah, once again, you've hit the nail on the head. Is that there is no reimbursement for exercise training or personal trainers, right? No, the physician can't get reimbursed for that. But the physician can get reimbursed for conducting procedures. And until we change the system to and I think it's starting to go in that direction a little bit to get reimbursement for things like, you know, a nutritionist or a personal trainer. Just like someone who's undergoing intensive cardiac rehab can undergo 72 sessions and get the physicians, the cardiologist can get reimbursed at approximately $100 a session for the intensive cardiac rehab that was approved by Medicare in 2010. But until there's reimbursement for these for personal training and nutritionists, I think that we're fighting an uphill battle.
Yeah, and you know what? Insurance companies are starting to get closer to it. They do it with the elderly. It's called silver slippers or silver sneakers, where the average person 65 years and older can actually get a free gym membership, but they pay as they go. They walk in, they show their driver's license. The gym records that and submits it to their insurance company, and they get $5 every time that person goes to the gym, which is usually, if they go 20 times a week, I mean a month, that's more than the average gym membership they're paying anyway. I mean, it's a profitable thing for gym members, and insurance companies are paying for it. They just need to expand that beyond the silver sneakers elderly to the generally diseased and infirmed. I mean, we just need to get people to understand. Insurance companies will be more profitable if people are, if their members are more fit.
Yes, I agree with you 100% on that.
Look, it's been a great discussion as always. Thank you so much for making time to come on the show. It's a very, very important topic. Thank you.
You're welcome, Carl. Thank you.
Take care. And we also want to thank Rob Regish for the first hour. The Blueprint Power Hour. Go to CoachRobRegish.com to learn more. And thank you for listening today. We'll see you tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio.